Chapter 90. A respected friend in a new aspect, in the evening of this same foggy day, when the yellow window blind of Pupsy and Company was drawn down upon the day's work, Raya the Jew once more came forth into St. Mary's. But this time he carried no bag, and was not bound on his master's affairs. He passed over London Bridge, and returned to the Middlesex shore by that of Westminster, and so, ever waiting through the fog, waited to the doorstep of the doll's dressmaker. Miss Wren expected him. He could see her through the window by the light of her low fire carefully banked up with damp cinders, that it might last the longer, and waste the less, when she was out sitting waiting for him in her bonnet. His tap at the glass roused her from the musing solitude in which she sat, and she came to the door to open it, aiding her steps with a little crutch stick. "Good evening, godmother." " said Miss Jenny Wren. The old man laughed, and gave her his arm to lean on. "Won't you come in and warm yourself, godmother?" asked Miss Jenny Wren. "Not if you are ready, Cinderella, my dear." exclaimed Miss Wren, delighted. "Now you are a clever old boy. If we gave prizes at this establishment, but we only keep blanks, you should have the first silver medal, for taking me up so quick." As she spake thus, Miss Wren removed the key of the house door from the keyhole, and put it in her pocket, and then bustlingly closed the door, and tried it as they both stood on the step. Satisfied that her dwelling was safe, she drew one hand through the old man's arm, and prepared to ply her crutch stick with the other. But the key was an instrument of such gigantic proportions, that before they started Raya proposed to carry it. "No, no, no. I'll carry it myself," returned Miss Wren. "I'm awfully lopsided, you know, and stowed down in my pocket it'll trim the ship. To let you into a secret, godmother, I wear my pocket on my high side, o' purpose." With that they began their plodding through the fog. "Yes, it was truly sharp of you, godmother," resumed Miss Wren with great approbation, "to understand me. But, you see, you are so like the fairy godmother in the bright little books. You look so unlike the rest of people, and so much, as if you had changed yourself into that shape, just this moment, with some benevolent object." cried Miss Jenny, putting her face close to the old man's. "I can see your features, godmother, behind the beard. Does the fancy go to my changing other objects too, Jenny?" Ah, that it does. If you'd only borrow my stick, and tap this piece of pavement, this dirty stone, that my foot taps it would start up a coach and six. I say, let's believe so. With all my heart, replied the good old man. "And I'll tell you what I must ask you to do, godmother. I must ask you to be so kind as give my child a tap, and change him altogether. Oh, my child has been such a bad, bad child of late. It worries me nearly out of my wits. Not done a stroke of work these 10 days. Has had the horrors too, and fancied that 4 copper-colored men in red wanted to throw him into a fiery furnace. But that's dangerous, Jenny. Dangerous, godmother? My child is always dangerous, more or less. He might hear the little creature glanced back over her shoulder at the sky, be setting the house on fire at this present moment. I don't know who would have a child, for my part. It's no use shaking him. I have shaken him till I have made myself giddy. Why don't you mind your commandments and honor your parent, you naughty old boy?" I said to him all the time. But he only whimpered and stared at me. What shall be changed, after him? Asked Raya in a compassionately playful voice. "Upon my word, godmother, I am afraid I must be selfish next, and get you to set me right in the back and the legs. It's a little thing to you with your power, godmother, but it's a great deal to poor weak aching me." There was no querulous complaining in the words, but they were not the less touching for that. and then? Apostrophe apostrophe, yes, and then you know, godmother. We'll both jump up into the coach and six, and go to Lizzie. This reminds me, godmother, to ask you a serious question. You are as wise can be, having been brought up by the fairies, and you can tell me this. Is it better to have had a good thing and lost it, or never to have had it? Apostrophe apostrophe, explain, goddaughter. Apostrophe, I feel so much more solitary and helpless without Lizzie now than I used to feel before I knew her. Apostrophe, tears were in her eyes as she said so. Some beloved companionship fades out of most lives, my dear, apostrophe said the Jew, that of a wife, and a fair daughter, and a son of promise, has faded out of my own life, but the happiness was. Apostrophe, ah. Apostrophe apostrophe said Miss Wren thoughtfully, by no means convinced, and chopping the exclamation with that sharp little hatchet of hers. Then I tell you, what change I think you had better begin with, godmother. You had better changes into was and was into is, and keep them so. Apostrophe, would that suit your case? Would you not be always in pain then? Apostrophe apostrophe asked the old man tenderly. Right. Apostrophe apostrophe exclaimed Miss Wren with another chop. You have changed me wiser, godmother. Not, apostrophe she added with a quaint hitch of her chin and eyes, that you need be a very wonderful godmother to do that deed. Apostrophe, thus conversing, and having crossed Westminster Bridge, they traversed the ground that Riot had lately traversed, and new ground likewise. For, when they had recrossed the Thames by way of London Bridge, they struck down by the river, and held their still foggier course that way. But previously, as they were going along, Jenny twisted her venerable friend aside to a brilliantly lighted toy shop window, and said, "Now look at 'em. All my work." Apostrophe, this referred to a dazzling semicircle of dolls in all the colors of the rainbow, who were dressed for presentation at court, for going to balls, for going out driving, for going out on horseback, for going out walking, for going to get married, for going to help other dolls to get married, for all the gay events of life. Apostrophe, pretty, pretty, pretty. Apostrophe apostrophe said the old man with a clap of his hands. Most elegant taste. Apostrophe apostrophe, glad you like 'em, apostrophe returned Miss Wren, loftily. But the fun is, godmother, how I make the great ladies try my dresses on. Though it's the hardest part of my business, and would be, even if my back were not bad, and my legs queer. Apostrophe, he looked at her as not understanding what she said. Bless you, godmother, apostrophe said Miss Wren, I have to scud about town at all hours. If it was only sitting at my bench, cutting out and sewing, it would be comparatively easy work, but it's the trying on by the great ladies that takes it out of me. Apostrophe, how, the trying on? Apostrophe apostrophe asked Raya. What a moony godmother you are, after all. Apostrophe apostrophe returned Miss Wren. Look here. There's a drawing room, or a grand day in the park, or a show, or a fete, or what you like. Very well. I squeeze among the crowd, and I look about me. When I see a great lady very suitable for my business, I say, you'll do, my dear. Apostrophe apostrophe and I take particular notice of her, and run home, and cut her out and baste her. Then another day, I come scudding back again to try on, and then I take particular notice of her again. Sometimes she plainly seems to say, how that little creature is staring. Apostrophe apostrophe and sometimes likes it and sometimes don't, but much more often yes than no. All the time I am only saying to myself, I must hollow out a bit here, I must slope away there. And I am making a perfect slave of her, with making her try on my doll's dress. Evening parties are severe work for me, because there's only a doorway for a full view, and what with hobbling among the wheels of the carriages, and the legs of the horses, I fully expect to be run over some night. However, there I have 'em, just the same. when they go bobbing into the hall from the carriage, and catch a glimpse of my little physiognomy poked out from behind a policeman's cape in the rain, I dare say they think I am wondering, and admiring with all my eyes and heart, but they little think they're only working for my dolls. There was Lady Belinda Wittress. I made her do double duty in one night. I said when she came out of the carriage, "You'll do, my dear." And I ran straight home, and cut her out and basted her. Back I came again, and waited behind the men that called the carriages. Very bad night too. At last, Lady Belinda Wittress's carriage. Lady Belinda Wittress coming down. And I made her try on, oh, and take pains about it too, before she got seated. That's Lady Belinda hanging up by the waist, much too near the gaslight for a wax one, with her toes turned in. Apostrophe, when they had plodded on for some time nigh the river, Raya asked the way to a certain tavern, called the Six Jolly Fellowship Porters. Following the directions he received, they arrived, after two or three puzzled stoppages for consideration, and some uncertain looking about them, at the door of Miss Abby Poeterson's dominions. A peep through the glass portion of the door revealed to them the glories of the bar, and Miss Abby herself seated in state on her snug throne, reading the newspaper. To whom, with deference, they presented themselves. Taking her eyes off her newspaper, and pausing with a suspended expression of countenance, as if she must finish the paragraph in hand, before undertaking any other business whatever, Miss Abby demanded, with some slight asperity, "Now then, what's for you? Apostrophe, apostrophe, could we see Miss Poeterson?" Apostrophe, apostrophe, asked the old man, uncovering his head. "You not only could, but you can and you do," apostrophe replied the hostess. "Might we speak with you, madam?" Apostrophe, apostrophe, by this time Miss Abby's eyes had possessed themselves of the small figure of Miss Jenny Wren. For the closer observation of which, Miss Abby laid aside her newspaper, rose, and looked over the half door of the bar. The crutch stick seemed to entreat for its owner leave to come in and rest by the fire. So, Miss Abby opened the half door, and said, as though replying to the crutch stick, "Yes, come in and rest by the fire." Apostrophe, my name is Raya, apostrophe said the old man, with courteous action, and my avocation is in London City. This, my young companion, apostrophe, stop a bit, apostrophe interposed Miss Wren. I'll give the lady my card. Apostrophe she produced it from her pocket with an air, after struggling with the gigantic door key which had got upon the top of it, and kept it down. Miss Abby, with manifest tokens of astonishment, took the diminutive document, and found it to run concisely thus. Miss Jenny Wren, Dolls Dressmaker. Dolls attended at their own residences. Lud. Apostrophe, apostrophe, exclaimed Miss Poeterson, staring, and dropped the card. We take the liberty of coming, my young companion and I, madam, apostrophe said Raya, on behalf of Lizzie Hexam. Apostrophe, Miss Poeterson was stooping to loosen the bonnet strings of the doll's dressmaker. She looked round rather angrily, and said, "Lizzie Hexam is a very proud young woman." Apostrophe, she would be so proud, apostrophe returned Raya, dexterously, to stand well in your good opinion, that before she quitted London for apostrophe, for where, in the name of the Cape of Good Hope? Apostrophe, apostrophe asked Miss Poeterson, as though supposing her to have emigrated. For the country, apostrophe was the cautious answer, she made us promise to come and show you a paper, which she left in our hands for that special purpose. I am an unserviceable friend of hers, who began to know her after her departure from this neighborhood. She has been for some time living with my young companion, and has been a helpful and a comfortable friend to her. Much needed, madam, apostrophe he added, in a lower voice. Believe me, if you knew all, much needed. Apostrophe, I can believe that, apostrophe said Miss Abby, with a softening glance at the little creature. And if it's proud to have a heart that never hardens, and a temper that never tires, and a touch that never hurts, apostrophe Miss Jenny struck in, flushed, she is proud. And if it's not, she is not. Apostrophe, her set purpose of contradicting Miss Abby point blank, was so far from offending that dread authority, as to elicit a gracious smile. You do right, child, apostrophe said Miss Abby, to speak well of those who deserve well of you. Apostrophe, right or wrong, apostrophe muttered Miss Wren, inaudibly, with a visible hitch of her chin, I mean to do it, and you may make up your mind to that, old lady. Apostrophe, here is the paper, madam, apostrophe said the Jew, delivering into Miss Poderson's hands the original document drawn up by Rokesmith, and signed by Riderhood. Will you please to read it? Apostrophe, but first of all, apostrophe said Miss Abby, apostrophe did you ever taste shrub, child? Apostrophe, apostrophe, Miss Wren shook her head. Should you like to? Apostrophe, apostrophe, should if it's good, apostrophe returned Miss Wren. You shall try. And, if you find it good, I'll mix some for you with hot water. Put your poor little feet on the fender. It's a cold, cold night, and the fog clings so. Apostrophe as Miss Abby helped her to turn her chair, her loosened bonnet dropped on the floor. Why, what lovely hair! Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried Miss Abby. And enough to make wicks for all the dolls in the world. What a quantity! Apostrophe, call it a quantity? Apostrophe, apostrophe, returned Miss Wren. Poof! What do you say to the rest of it? Apostrophe, apostrophe, as she spoke, she untied a band, and the golden stream fell over herself, and over the chair, and flowed down to the ground. Miss Abby's admiration seemed to increase her. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.